question was raised for everyone. Are you ready? Are you ready
for that day, that great day that's coming? It's a good morning for everyone to... Let me get this right. It's a good morning for all because you are still here. God is good. And all the time, God is good. When I looked and I thought about it this morning when I first woke up, I thought to myself how wonderful it is to be here on this day. It's wonderful to be here on this day because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we ought to be rejoiced and be glad in it. So let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer, as we begin to get together for our message this morning. Let us thank God for everything. The cross came before the church, and the church came as a result of the cross. So let us take a moment now and think about the cross while we take a few minutes, I should say, as we talk about the cross this morning, why we should love the cross. Many folks today are in love with the objects of the world. We love our cars, we love our TVs, our boats, those that have them. And of course, we love our homes, and especially we love our money. But how many are in love with the cross of Jesus? When you think about it, the cross is the greatest asset that a Christian has. The cross of Christ is what brought us to where we're at today. The cross of Christ is where we need to consider and put our focus on, because if it had not been for the cross, we would not be here this morning. Now, when you look in the text for today, in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, starting at the 14th verse, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but right now let us continue on with our message. The cross, when we come to realize what it symbolizes sadness because it brought pain and suffering to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it brought joy to us because of what it did for us. It brought joy to us and it brought salvation to us. So why should we be in love with the cross? We should love the cross. For some who don't love the cross thinks it's foolishness. For some, it becomes a stumbling block. For Christians, it should present a love story. A love story because of it is where our Savior died at. On Calvary, there stood three crosses. One in particular, the one in the middle, is the one that held our Savior, Jesus Christ. Only one of them did our Savior give His life upon. Out of the three crosses, only one of them brought salvation. On that one cross hung not a robber or a thief, but instead the begotten Son of God, according to John 3 and verse 16. He loved the world so that He sent His only begotten Son into this world. It is not a movie produced in Hollywood, the cross. It is not a newspaper account or a story written about the cross, but it is the Word of God where we find the cross at. The love story of all love stories. Yet it is a story that's true, and thank God it's real. Christians especially should love the story of the cross. We should want to hear it over and over again. We should live it because it is about a special Son. One who above all others. One who is above all others. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 9 through verses 11. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. How that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. Even though Jesus was innocent, even of the slightest crime, He still gave His life for us. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8 says, "And being formed in fashion as a man, He humbled and became obedient unto the death, even to the death of the cross." He took on the likeness of being human, just like us. How do we know? Well, if you'll notice Hebrews 2 and 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren." When we consider all that the cross should mean to us, we should never get tired of hearing about it. When someone no longer wants to hear of the cross, they have become hard of heart. There is no time limit on studying and hearing God's Word, for it is a lifelong course. It should be read, studied, heard for one's entire life. The Word of God tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God. If one tires of being approved of God and then forget the cross, then they forget the Word of God, they forget to be obedient to God, and then they forget the cross. Now I say one thing this morning. If you want to forget the cross, you must forget everything that you've heard about Jesus. You must pretend that you've never heard the gospel of Christ being spoken about. You must pretend that you have never heard. Many of us have heard our grandparents talk about the cross. You must pretend and forget all of that to say that I no longer care about the cross of Jesus Christ. I tell you, when I look at the text this morning, look at verse number 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God." And then verse number 22 says, "For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom." But look at verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. I tell you something, we ought to love the cross each and every day that we think about living. We ought to love the cross because we ought to be thanking God for every moment that He gives us in this world today. And I know what some of us like to say. This is a cruel and an evil world that we live in. But nevertheless, I'm not sure that there are many who want to leave it right now. So we got to love the cross while we are here. We've got to love the cross because it was the cross of Christ that we should be in love with. We should have a lifelong love affair with Christ and His cross. Do you love the cross this morning? If you don't, you ought to consider loving the cross. Number two, the substitution. We ought to love the cross because of the substitution on the cross. If one was to look up the word substitute, it is defined as a person or thing taking the place of another, a person serving for another, a thing used instead of another. I submit that if you look up in the Webster's Dictionary and for the word substitute, there should be a description or a picture of Christ, for He is the greatest substitute for all time. When you look back in the Old Testament and you go back to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and verses 5, He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Our Savior felt both physical pain and the sorrow of loneliness. His load was heavy, yet he did not shy away from His mission. Although He felt God, His Father, had deserted Him as well as His earthly followers. In Matthew chapter 27 in verse number 46, the Bible says He cried out in a loud voice, saying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be crucified for us. In the Old Testament where he suggested that Jesus would be crucified, but then in the New Testament, Jesus fulfilled that prophecy when it came to the New Testament and when He went up on yonder's cross. Jesus was the perfect substitute, for He was without spot. He was without blemish. He and His cross are deserving of our remembrance and our love. Do you love the cross this morning? If you don't love the cross this morning, you need to ask yourself, why not? If not, why not? If I don't love the cross, what would be another love affair that I should be in? And I don't mean, it's not the same kind of love that you love your husband, your wife, your children, your family. That's not the kind of love I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spiritual love, the love for one who saved us, one who brought us into where we're at right now. There will never be, there never has been, and there never will be another substitute like Him. Titus 2 and verse number 14 said, "Who gave Himself that He might redeem us from iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work." Now, some of us are not zealous of good work. Some of us don't know how to do good works. This message today ought to help spur you along, because if you are in love with the cross, you would love to do good works. You would love to be zealous in your work for the Lord. Now I say to you this morning, the cross, this is not Jesus' physical cross, but this is a representation of a cross behind me here. Now this cross that Jesus hung on was a lot different than this cross behind me. For the cross that Jesus hung on was made out of rough, unhewn timber. It was made out of timber that was not smooth, in other words. It was made out of wood, and Jesus had to carry his own cross up Calvary's Hill. And when he got up Calvary's Hill, they said, let's crucify him. Let's put him on the cross. Let's make him see if he can come back down because he said he could. Let's see what Christ can do. But nevertheless, Christ hung on the cross and he died on the cross that we might live. Are you one of his people? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been washed that you might love the cross? And when you go back to the text once again, and it says in verse number 20, well, let's start with verse 18 as we should. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Isn't God worth our love this morning? Isn't God worth your devotion? And you know something? When you look at it, God doesn't ask us for a lot. He just asks for our obedience. He asks for us to study and know His Word. And then He only asks us to come to church for a couple of hours on Sunday morning, one day a week. I discount Wednesday night because most of you don't come anyway on Wednesday night. And I say that with a loving heart. A lot of you don't come on Wednesday night. That's not worship service, but it's still teaching God's Word to you. It's still helping us to understand the Word of God. It's still helping us to know. I like Bible class because in Bible class I can do this and I can say so and so and so and so. I got a question about this and I got a question about that. We ought to get in to serving God a little bit deeper these days. You know, the world is an awful place, and I understand that. And I understand that many people are afraid to go outside of their doors today. Many people don't like to open their doors because they're afraid that somebody might come in on them. And many folks don't go out in the street no more because they're afraid of the streets. But you know something? Ask the Lord to protect you and go ahead and do what you got to do. Ask the Lord to protect you and take care of you while you are out and about. And if you are worthy of God's service, then God will protect you and get you back home to and from home. We ought to remember and love the cross because the cross brought salvation to us. To those who feel that loving the cross is not worthy of their consideration. These are spoken of in verse number 18, which I just read about perishing those that, but the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We who love the Lord know that Christ died that we might live. We know that it is the power of God, and it is through His death on the cross that we are saved. He freed us from the sin that we were in. He brought salvation to us through His own blood. He didn't ask for a drop of my blood. He didn't ask for a drop of your blood. He asked simply for, He used His own blood to save us. And from that blood and from Him hanging on the cross came the church of Christ. Out of His body, out of His side came blood and water. And then in Matthew 16 and 18, He said, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this rock I will build my church. So we're going to get into building of the church in our meeting upcoming week. Next week. He freed us from the sin that we were in. And He brought this salvation to us with His own blood. I believe this is why today many of us need to re-examine our lives to make sure we are allowing the power of righteousness to stand above the power of sin. And the only way to do this is to know the name above all names. We've got to learn to accept His ways and not man's way. We've got to come to know the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at this picture, when you picture in your mind the cross of Christ, and as we stand in the shadow of that cross today, when we look at how great Jesus was and how He could have saved Himself from the cross, but He chose to save us from death instead of Him coming off the cross. He could have prevented ever even getting up on the cross. Somebody said, why don't you just call a legion of soldiers to protect you? And Jesus knew that He had to go in to the prophecy that He needed to fulfill. So He hung on yonder's cross. Now, when you learn to accept the Word of God, when you learn to accept Christ as the way of the cross, when you learn to accept God is the Savior and the body and the blood of all of us, and when we go into this watery grave of baptism, it's us that meet the blood and the water of Jesus Christ, which is in the water. So if you don't know Jesus, you need to come forward today, because this may be your only day to come forward. Now, when I think about it even further, I ask myself the question, Lord, if it hadn't been for the cross that You hung on, where, oh, where would we be? And the answer to the question is, we would be nowhere. The answer to the question, we would be living in a world of unsaved people. We would be living in a world of unrighteousness. We would be living in a world where man's way it would be the only way that we know. But we must come to know Him who is the lily of the valley. We must come to know Him who is the bright in the morning star. We must come to know Him who is heaven's life for earth's death. We must come to know Him who is heaven's light for earth's darkness. We must come to know Him who is heaven's water for earth's thirst. We must come to know Him who is heaven's hope for earth's despair. If you don't know Jesus today, this is the best day to come to know Him. And as an added bonus, when you put Him on through baptism, you have the opportunity to gain heaven as your eternal home. None of us living should not want to be counted among those who are heavenly bound. It will be a sad day to face the judgment without ever knowing Christ for yourself. It will be a sad day at the judgment to find yourself on the other side of those who stood in favor of Jesus, as opposed to those who stood in opposition to the Word of God. We need to love the cross, and that the cross is our reminder of the suffering, the shame, and the death of Jesus. As we consider the rest of our lives, let us consider Jesus to be our guide this morning. When you think about Him dying, when you go over with me, if you will, to Book of John. In Book of John, in verse number 20, the Bible says this. The Bible says around in verse number, I take that back. Let me go to John 19. When the Bible said that Jesus was about to be crucified, and Pilate took Jesus and scourged Him, in verse number 19, starting at verse number, chapter 19, starting at verse number 1. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on His head. They put on Him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote Him with their hands. And Pilate went before them again and said unto them, Behold, I bring Him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in Him. I find no fault in Him. Pilate basically washed his hands of the matter, and he said, I find no fault in Jesus. But I tell you today, there are many who are still trying to figure out if He found no fault in Jesus. Why was He crucified? Well, I submit to you, He was crucified because He had to fulfill prophecy that was written many years ago. And I submit to you that without Jesus on His cross, I submit the same question, where would we be this morning? Where, oh, where would we be without Christ in our lives? And I say something to you this morning. If you love the Lord, you ought to want to be allied with Him. You ought to want to be one of His allies. You ought to want to know Him better. And I submit to you that no matter how long you live and how much you study, you still haven't studied enough. I submit to you that no matter how much you read the Bible, you still haven't read the Bible enough. It's a book that you can start in the beginning in Genesis and go through to Revelation and then go back and start all over again and just keep starting over again. Just keep going through it, because every time you'll find something that you missed before. You'll say, oh, I didn't see that, or oh, I don't remember reading that before. The Bible is a lifelong study. Just as the Word of God teaches us what we must do and how we must live, it also teaches us how to die. And that's to die righteously. If you want to get to heaven, there's only one way to get to heaven. And that's being obedient to the Word of God, doing His will and following His course. God didn't see. In other words, let me put it to you this way. I got a couple of minutes. Let me say it this way. There won't be another Bible written. This is the only Bible. We may get an interpreted version of the Bible, but the Word of God is here to stay. It's now for here, for now and forevermore. And because you know how we like to wait and put things off. I do. I like to put things off sometimes. That's not going to change the outcome of it. The Bible is written for our learning, and the Old Testament is written for our learning and understanding. The New Testament is our guide to get to heaven. But you've got to look into it. If you don't look at it, how are you going to know what you're supposed to do? If you don't read it, how are you going to understand it? And you can't understand it unless you ask God to give you some wisdom. Now, I can open up the Bible any day of any week, and so can you. And you can look in there, and you can look at something, you can say to yourself, I never knew this. Or I have forgotten this, one or the other. I tell you, when the Word of God comes into your life, it is a life-changing experience for most of us, and as it should be. It's a life-altering change that we can make by going into the watery grave of baptism. If you're here today and you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you are a member of the Lord's body, but you've walked astray. And let me tell you, let me just focus for a moment on walking astray. It's easy for many of us to walk astray. It's difficult for many of us to come back by ourselves. So you have to go to God, ask Him to help you to be forgiven of whatever that's caused you to walk astray. And then it's a good idea to come before the church. Ask the church to pray with you and for you, that you may gather the strength you need to battle off whatever you're facing. Now, I know that many folk don't like to come up to the front of the church. They don't like to say things like, I've sinned. They don't like to say things like, there are some things going on in my life. But I'll tell you something. If you be ashamed of Him, He will be ashamed of you before His Heavenly Father. So you ought to make up in your mind that if you walked astray, you want to start walking back straight and on the straight and narrow. You want to love the cross. You want to remember why you love the cross. You love the cross because it is where Jesus died, where we got life at, where we got freedom at, where our salvation came from. It was at the, we sing that song, at the cross, where I first saw the light. Some of us mean it. Some of us sing it real loud. Some of us just mumble it. So figure out where you're at in that group and learn to love the cross. You can love the cross real easy. The cross is not hard to love. The cross is a good thing to love. When you love the cross, that shows your love for Jesus. And Jesus wants our love. Jesus loved us enough to give Himself on the cross. And for that, we ought to be eternally grateful as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.